Thank you for downloading this podcast from policyreview.tv.
If I could just introduce myself, I'm Caroline Savage. I work for the National Apprenticeship Service and I'm head of apprenticeship vacancies. So my team deal with anything to do with recruitment, new vacancies. Most of the young people find their way to apprenticeship through applying for a new vacancy. Not all, some will find a job first and then get converted, but most will find their way to apprenticeship. We've got an hour, and I'm happy to give a session as per you want it and answer any questions. Before I kind of start launching in and making assumptions, can I just check whether you want right from basics in terms of what is an apprenticeship, whether there's any specific areas you would like me to cover, or is it just kind of, you know, you're here to get an update on the latest on apprenticeship? I'm just kind of trying to gauge it as to how much detail I go into on things, and I'm more than happy to answer individual questions as well.
Here for an update, I'm happy to start at any.
What the apprenticeship framework is and all that.
All I want is just an update, and maybe just answer.
It's just what the vacancy matching service or whatever can do for us.
I can't stress enough the importance really of our practitioners in helping individuals and young people to find an apprenticeship, and their role's particularly important in getting young people to understand that apprenticeships are competitive. There's still, I think, a lack of real understanding about what apprenticeships are out there. They are competitive. It's not like a prospectus where it starts on the 1st of September and they're guaranteed a place, because it's linked to real employment. So you can really make a difference in helping young people understand that and guiding them through that whole application process and preparing them to apply for vacancies online and completing a good application form and preparing them for interview. And when we speak to employers, what really bugs them most about young people is a lot of them simply do not turn up for interview. And when we look at reasons why, I was just speaking earlier, some young people actually sign on for apprenticeship vacancies and have got five or six accounts with five or six different mobile phones. So when the employer or training provider rings the young person, they're using an old mobile phone number and they can't actually get in contact with them to invite them to interview. So real fundamental things like that, you've got a really, you know, critical role in helping them through that process. And also picking them up when they're not successful with their first vacancy. Some of the vacancies we've got over 12,000 at the moment, and we have hundreds of new vacancies coming in at the moment, all the time, that's all year. The National Apprenticeship Service, we're responsible for generating new vacancies from employers and stimulating demands and promoting apprenticeships. So we have teams that engage with employers of all sizes, right through from very small companies through to major companies. Some of those vacancies do attract hundreds of thousands of applications. Some do not. At the minute, I've got 600 vacancies with five or less applications, and about 100 of those, not one person has applied with a week to go to closing. So it really does vary depending on the sector, where they are in the country. So just really to say, there are lots of vacancies, they change by the day, and you have a critical role really to play in helping young people kind of understand how to get the best out of apprenticeship vacancies. So apprenticeship's about real jobs. We won't post a vacancy unless it's linked to a real job from an employer. It has to be. You're probably aware that there have been two levels of apprenticeship in the past, mainly at intermediate, level two, and advanced. There are a growing number now at higher level, so level four, five and beyond. And the government has put out significant investment, £25 million, to a whole range of consortiums to develop more high-level apprenticeships at level four and above. So what you will definitely see, certainly over the coming couple of years, is a much wider range of frameworks available at level four plus. They're available now in business admin, management, engineering. They are available in some sectors, but it is quite restricted. So the new bit in terms of the levels is the growth in high level. And what we are now seeing most definitely is a much broader range of young people and calibre applying. I think we're now starting to see more A-level and post-16 students from college who are actually saying, right, is going to university full-time the right route for me? And it may well be, but it might not. And an apprenticeship, and certainly an advanced or a higher apprenticeship, might be more appropriate. So we are seeing different calibre, I think, than we've seen in the past. Because I think even going back to 3 years, still very much, the messages in certainly some schools was, apprenticeships, you do an apprenticeship if you don't, if you're not going to college or you're not going into the sixth form, you do it if you can't do anything else. I think that definitely is changing. Okay. So just going through some of the minimum salary requirements. There is a minimum wage for 16 to 18 year olds of £2.60. Many employers will pay more than that. The average is 170 a week, and it varies sector-wise. Certain sectors like hairdressing, sun care, and some of those low-paying sectors will pay minimum wage. Other sectors, I don't come across engineering at minimum wage, most definitely, and a lot of construction, So a lot of sectors will pay higher than that minimum wage. And I think if you can get young people to look at apprenticeships as getting their foot in the door with an employer, it's quite often getting their foot in the door, proving themselves with their first apprenticeship opportunity, will actually enable them to see what other promotion opportunities are within that company. And I know we were talking earlier, the lady on my right, about there's not much in the creative sector in terms of creative apprenticeships, but it may well be an opening into a media company to do a business administration apprenticeship at advanced level might open the doors for them to flourish, or graphic design, or it might not exactly have the label that they've been studying the foundation degree, but it might open the door into that company. And again, they need some guidance to get them to look at that rather than just only looking at this. I mean, we offer apprenticeships across the whole country, and 9 out of 10 who do complete are in work or education after their apprenticeship. And there are statistics, that do demonstrate if you take part and complete an apprenticeship, your average earning salary is 100,000 plus over their lifetime. So, apprentices, generally speaking, learn more like graduates. From August this year, the minimum time for delivery for 16 to 18 year olds will be 12 months. So there will not be any accelerated delivery of apprenticeship. And we did introduce new specification standards in England for apprenticeship last year. And that really is to tighten up the whole quality, the delivery, beyond the off the job in terms of what's required within an apprenticeship framework. And I suppose because apprenticeships is such a good news story, we've more than doubled in a few years, our challenge is trying to still maintain the quality of apprenticeship. My team, when we're posting vacancies, they are looking out to make sure it's real employment, it meets minimum requirements and offers a decent salary. Apprentices as well must be normally employed for 30 hours or more, and they must be allowed to do their offer job as appropriate. So you probably know basic eligibility, but it's anybody who's reached statutory school leaving age is eligible start an apprenticeship. Many young people will apply prior to leaving school, and so if you're dealing with young people in year 11, 12 or 13, advice is to start looking on apprenticeship vacancies much earlier so that they can start applying, and also registering for web or text alerts for when new vacancies are posted. And when people say, well, what are the minimum requirements qualification-wise? Every vacancy is different. There are vacancies for young people who don't have any qualifications. You know, if you want to become a hairdresser, then you're probably not going to need necessary formal qualifications. But if you want to be an engineer, I'll choose engineer because I believe we're talking about engineering this morning, then, you know, good all-round education and maths and English, at least at sea, is what employers, preferably a science as well, one or more science. So it really varies depending on the level of apprenticeship and the sector. And so what we would say is, you know, whether you're dealing with young people who are leaving at the end of year 11, 12, 13 or beyond, there will be something for them, whether they've got lots of qualifications or whether they haven't. I mean, Rolls Royce, when they're recruiting, they'll be looking for, you know, your A's at A level. That's what they'll be looking for. At plus, they'll be looking for more than that. They'll be looking for a passion, an interest, you know, a background. And they will receive, you know, for 150 vacancies, probably 4,000 applications at least. So, it really varies. But motivation, punctuality, all those kind of personal skills are just as important as is turning up for the interview, which...
can I just ask that? Do you have to have, for every apprenticeship framework, you would need to be working at the required level to get key skills at level one, so it isn't the don't vary, there is a minimum that we wouldn't be able to accept them?
I mean, if they haven't got the maths or English, then the provider will work with them towards their functional skills at level two.
But if they were entry two or below, possible in 2 years to get them to the required level?
You would know whether that would be possible. And for some young people, it might be, and for others, it might not. And it would depend really on the sector, what they've done before. A whole range of things, yeah. But I would say, you know, the problem is it's competitive. So if they're going, they're applying with other young people who've got, you know, maths and English B grades, they're not going to be able to compete. This time of year for 16 to 18 year olds who haven't got particularly good qualifications is a good time to actually apply and start. Now, I know that doesn't work with the academic year, but what we tend to find is when everybody else is applying, so kind of, you know, for a September, October start, it's really, really competitive. And then just before Christmas then, the numbers of 16 to 18-year-olds, you know, goes down. So it's much easier for those who haven't got good qualifications. And then it gets a bit harder again when you get sixth form dropouts and NFE dropouts in the new year. And then this time of year, again, you know, there's less competition. So 16 to 18 recruitment is very cyclical, and it's easier to apply. Now, I know that doesn't help a young person if they're coming up to leaving school, but I'm just saying there is a cyclical recruitment, and it may well be they take a part-time job and then apply in February or whatever. And again, it's about guiding them through that kind of cyclical nature of recruitment. In terms of 2010-11, about 500,000 individuals started an apprenticeship. The focus that this government wants on apprenticeship is for us to reduce the numbers of 25-plus people coming into apprenticeship and only focus for 25-plus on those who are unemployed, and want to give an absolute priority to 16 to 24-year-olds, and particularly opening up more new vacancies for the unemployed or those looking for their first kind of career. So there has been a change from the last government to this new government, and we're just in the process of trying to manage down some of that 25-plus demand, because the last government wanted just to build that up, and now we're trying to refocus. So good success rate. One of the things the government's recently introduced is a wage subsidy, and that's to encourage employers who employ 250 staff or less to take on a 16 to 24-year-old. and there are grants of £1,500 available to employers to act as a wage subsidy, and that's paid in two blocks, one after the first 8 weeks and one when the individual completes. So again, the details on the wage incentive, that's available on our national website, and that's available from April, although the employer can backdate it for anybody who started 8 weeks prior to the beginning of April, as long as they meet the criteria and as long as that individual is in the right eligibility age group. Yeah. So the next couple of slides really is just really to show you where there are new vacancies posted. The last year, 85,500 new vacancies posted. The largest chunk come within business administration and law. That would also include in that sector customer service. It would include accountancy. We have large number of accountancy opportunities within there. Engineering, I would say, is a pretty strong sector, despite what you hear on the news. There's a lot of replacement demands as a very ageing workforce, and some fantastic opportunities within that sector, certainly for young people. And you know, information technology, communication, lots of good opportunities there. And then the other graph really just shows the top 10 sectors for new. This is for new vacancies. It doesn't include those who are in a job where they're converted to an apprenticeship. So it's where, generally speaking, new people apply. Construction, we are now starting to see a slight increase, but it has been very depressed. For those of you involved in construction delivery, it has been pretty dire, but we are seeing glimmers of hope, starting to see more new vacancies coming through, which is good. That's the national economy. So, in terms, I don't know, how many of you are familiar with apprenticeship vacancies? Have you used it? Yeah.
But because I work for a college, it's kind of difficult, kind of, because obviously students want to gain whatever, you know, grade they're getting in the qualification. So that means they've got to wait until maybe just before June with their exams to kind of look for an apprenticeship to start at the time that they need.
Yeah, I mean, they can register any time in the year. Registering, there's no obligation to do anything. So we would say, get students to register as soon as possible.
But is there a way of looking at what apprenticeships start when?
Yeah, every vacancy has actually got when the employer wants the individual to start.
No, but what I was trying to get at is that, because I was told beforehand that if someone wanted to look straight at a vacancy, let's say someone was interested in apprenticeships now, if they went onto the website to search for apprenticeships, those apprenticeships are due to start within the next few weeks.
Generally speaking, there are some of the bigger firms, particularly some of the big engineering firms, will recruit in January for September starts.
And I would be able to find that or not?
Yeah, you would find them. They would be live, and they would say they would start in September. So on each of the vacancies that are posted, it would tell you when the employer
would. So I would have to go through, if I was looking for engineering, I would have to go through all the vacancies to find.
What you would need to do as an individual, so you can register on there, on apprenticeship vacancies, once you're logged in, you can actually set up a web or text alert. So this leaflet kind of tells you how to do that. So basically you could say, right, I'm interested in engineering, business admin, hospitality, whatever you're interested in, two kind of sectors. And then you could say where you live, geographical area you're looking. And the system then will text you when any new vacancies are posted,
And it tells you when.
And it tells you when the employer's looking to recruit. On every vacancy, it will tell you.
I think something that the gentleman might be getting at is something which I would find useful is, I mean, the website is good in so much as it's really good the way that alerts get sent when you've registered that you're interested in certain sectors.
Yeah.
And you can search by sector.
Yeah.
and you can search by geographic area. But I think if the search engine could be a little bit more robust, so you could do a search based on when vacancies are starting,
yeah.
and it would list all vacancies starting in September
yeah.
that might be advertised now.
Yeah.
What we've sent out to careers professionals, and any of you can register on that. So we send out to kind of connections, kind of what's left of connections, local authorities, Next Step, GSCP. We send out weekly vacancies, and some of them sign up. I'll come on to talk about live RSS feeds. So they've always got a live feed to their computer of what vacancies are there on that day. So you've got a live feed. So I'll talk to you about that. But if you wanted to sign up for an email weekly,
yeah.
monthly, or whatever, you can do that as well. Yeah.
How do you do that?
I'll talk to you about that. But the easiest is setting up an RSS feed. And if you... I'll come on to it in a minute. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So you all know to go through apprenticeships.org.uk. That's how you get onto apprenticeship vacancies. Yeah. Yeah. And I've kind of mentioned some of the companies there that we work with. So moving on to the next. Have many of you gone onto the partners site on apprenticeship.org and used any of the materials on there? Yeah. There's Teacher Resource Pack, which is being updated at the moment. That's where these new leaflets are posted on that apprenticeships.org.uk, and these are downloadable in black and white PDF. There's also an employer version as well, so not that one. So you know what apprenticeships can do for your business. So there are three: one for businesses, one for individuals, on how to apply to apprenticeship vacancies. Plus details of what tutoring if you need further help, so either the National Career Service number or our help desk if you're struggling with how to actually get into the system. Okay. Did you know you could register and search for vacancies as a partner rather than going in as an individual? No. So if you go into apprenticeship.org at the top under partners, you can go in and register as a partner, and you can then pull off vacancies in bulk format and search in a different way than individuals do. So that could help you. So if you go in there, yeah, you can actually, I think it's called something like partners registration, and then it's got Next Step in brackets. It's for any career professionals who want to access. So you can do it through there, yeah, through the partners section of apprenticeship.org. And you can register for these live RSS feeds, which basically can streamline live vacancies to your own website in a bespoke manner. So if you want to specify that you only want vacancies in Croydon, advanced level, engineering, you can do that. Or if you just want to know what vacancies are available at any time in your kind of area, when you go into apprenticeship.org, there's an RSS feed which is an orange, it's kind of an orange square. And if you click on that, you can just get live vacancies fed to your website, and you can save it in your favourites. You can't do that at local authority level. You can only really do it by, I think it's by region. So, like, I've got an RSS feed for the East Midlands, which is where I live. So if at home I'm just thinking of what vacancies are there for my son, I can just click on it and see what live vacancies, and I can search by engineering, business admin, hospitality, and it'll just bring up what's there. So there are different ways. If you want to set up that real bespoke, then what you need to do is to contact the National Help Desk there or ring that number, and they'll help you set that up. If you want that bespoke, it will need you to do a bit of technical work with your website to receive that RSS feed. But if you just want in a general feed, I would say either register as a partner, you can do a lot of searches that way, or click on the orange box on apprenticeship.org, and you can get a regional feed of vacancies. So it depends kind of how fine-tuned you want it to be. And if you do want to receive weekly or monthly vacancies on an email, then again you can ring that number and we can add you to our mailing list. that kind of answer?
It does and it doesn't. All it is that because there's a career, when you're looking at students,
if you're wanting
you need
to start
to help,
if you want
you need them
thing,
to help
need
plan
to
ahead,
plan ahead.
So it can't be like within a few. You understand?
Yeah.
So I've seen other websites like banks and stuff.
Yeah.
They do like ask people to apply in January for a summer start. But
what you can be doing is getting their application forms ready. You know, getting them signed on. And a lot of young people have problems with their application form. They really don't sell themselves. There's kind of two word answers. So they can have those ready to go, and then if that's half the battle, you know, I mean, they've still got to go to interview, but helping them prepare, they've got their application form, even if they don't see anything on there and even if they can't apply, if you've helped them with their application form and say, you know, and what they're going to do to tailor it if they're applying for hospitality or if they're applying for care or whatever, then you can give them that advice up front so that they've got that all prepared. So you don't need to actually wait until they see a vacancy. They can do a lot of preparation, registering and completing their application form and having it saved and ready then just to apply when they're ready, really. Yeah. So that would be my kind of advice. The rest was really just some hints and tips that we've kind of filled in, really, just making young people aware it is competitive. They can have 10 live applications at any one point. Making sure they have appropriate email addresses. I'm sure you probably come across them yourself, you know, don't you? And appropriate messages on their mobile phone, you know, so when the employer rings, it's not "Hi, sexy baby," and we get worse than that, and I'm sure you know.
The email thing, they need to make sure that they look at the emails.
Absolutely,
because
a lot of young people don't.
We tell them not to put an email just down if they don't look at it. So that boy's missing out on university office and things.
Well, the only problem is that our system will communicate via email.
We get if they don't look at their own, often you get the parents.
Get the home email. So we mentioned application form. I mean, the number that write down hot leaves drinking with mates or drinking games. I mean, it's just really embarrassing when you see that and they don't think there's anything wrong with it, you know. And then when they kind of bring up why they've been successful, you know, and you think, well, if you're competing with 100 people, you know, that one reason. So, you know, I'm sure you know all these. It's the tracking and keeping logged on. Remembering to use spell check. A lot will get sifted out due to spelling mistakes. Do that all the time. Many don't consider how they're actually going to physically get to the job as well. Big issue. More and more apprenticeship opportunities will carry assessment centres as well as interview. Not all, but many will. So kind of again preparing them for that. Just taking a copy of the vacancy to the interview, knowing what they've applied for, just basic things. And kind of really, you know, remembering to sell their personal skills as well, you know, that they are trustworthy, you know, they will turn up on time, or all those kind of, you know, basic skills that they probably don't realise. I think the biggest issue we have is kind of unsuccessful candidates, and the best training providers do pick up unsuccessful candidates. They will help them with interview techniques, look at what's gone wrong, help them to reapply, but many don't, and a lot of young people become quite disillusioned when they're unsuccessful after two or three times. And it's about, I think that's a big issue for the whole sector, as to how we pick them up, you know, pick them up and help them to reapply, because some of them are really, really good candidates. There's nothing wrong with them, it's just that on the one that they applied for, you know, had 100 people.
Can I just say on that, because we're advertising a lot of vacancies with you at the moment, and we've got a lot of employers who are looking for people and I'm in the apprenticeship,
yeah.
So in the apprenticeship department, so it's employers that we're putting their vacancies on.
Yeah.
So a couple of things. Firstly, that the vacancies are taking a long time to get registered so that they're live from when we send the template, because we send the employers a template.
What are you based against?
We're based in Nantwich, so we're land-based.
Right,
and Cheshire.
Are you linked with our northern?
Yes, Kate.
Kate Leach just
got
so we've probably had a change of staff. That's
so that's taking an awfully long time. So we've got employers, they've for horticulture who are wanting somebody now, and they're looking on the website saying, well, it's not on yet, and they're giving these details. Is there a problem with it? So we're getting now phone calls from employers saying it's not on quickly enough, but we've taken the information and sent it on.
Take that back, because I know the reason. Kate Leach has just gone on maternity leave, and there's a new member of staff, so that's probably what
that is. We're taking on a number at the moment, and that's a problem.
Yeah,
and then the other thing is that a number of the smaller employers have not got the facility to interview on a large scale. So if they get 20 applicants, there's no way they may want to see 20 applicants.
That's the role of the provider.
Let me carry on to the same. So the role of the provider, you think of us in education, the cuts that we've got at the moment, and the people in the room will know. If you're expecting the provider to follow up every applicant to give them feedback, that's a very big job. So what we tend to do now is we tend to telephone interview everybody who's applied, and then say that we'll be shortlisting from that.
Yeah.
Some people have applied for at least 10 different posts, which could be ranging from farming to hairdressing. So it's difficult to take them seriously. So I would never encourage people to do that.
No,
I would encourage them to hone their CV and go, you know, so this
But there's nothing wrong with 10 in business admin.
Not at all.
No,
they're not like that. They tend to be sort of right the way across.
No,
and that's bizarre. And then when we telephone them, often the mobile numbers are wrong.
Absolutely.
They don't respond to the email address.
Yeah.
So you actually can't follow them up because of that.
No.
So you know that can be a problem as well.
Yeah.
So what you say is right.
Yeah.
But if you think of us perhaps having, at the moment, probably about 12 vacancies live for small people, and if we got 20 or 30 applicants for each of those, for us to actually resource that with the staff that we've got, it's a big resource to actually get the shortlist first to get to the employer.
Yeah.
You know, I think for Tatton Park, which you know is a sort of stately where everybody wants to garden, we've had about 60 applicants for it. We've had to telephone all those to draw down to a shortlist.
Yeah.
10 have actually gone through to interview. We've invited them for interview with us first, and then check that their eligibility is fine in terms of we do initial assessment. So they've all had an interview with us, being told what questions they might be asked, so we coach them, ready for when they go to the employer, so that they're not disappointed with them. Take them then to the employer to be interviewed. That's a massive resource, and I think one that we haven't really thought about as a college. You know, we've perhaps got two people who are doing that.
No, I think maybe
we could be doing it all the time.
Yeah, I think it's more. I think it's easier for a general FE college.
Yes.
You know, some of the good practice we see in general FE, and I know you're a specialist, so it's slightly different for yourself, is they will take unsuccessful candidates and they'll say, right, well, what else can we offer them?
Yeah, well, we might have other jobs.
Yeah.
I mean, we would do that at the moment.
Or what else, you know, many of them are running employability workshops.
Yeah, and they might do that, but then again, you've got the distance. And can they afford to, you know, there's all sorts of
other things. Yours is different because you're recruiting all over.
Yeah.
I think it's easier for a general FE college that's serving a community. But yeah, quite a number of them will put on employability workshops. And helping them to kind of reapply or looking at whether, you know, it's the right sector for them.
But then there's a distance of somebody getting to a practical place of work. So if it's a, you know, farm, for example, as well, they tend to get there for 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
So there's quite a lot of practicalities attached
absolutely.
To it. And
absolutely.
It's quite a big thing to sort of get those people into
the
post. But it's good.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
It, you know, it,
yeah.
it is creating a lot of,
yeah.
and some of the problem
yeah.
of
yeah.
people not being got back to is because they haven't put the correct contact details
absolutely.
On their
like I said, you know.
Thing, yeah.
They've got so many mobile phones, you know, they seem to kind of swap mobile phones, like...
They don't respond, and they don't actually, a lot of them don't even attend it, where we've tried to invite everybody to interview to start off with, but we can invite 20 people and only two will respond and turn up.
Yeah.
And you're wasting time and resources, so that's when we went to the telephone interview, because I think on the computer, people are tempted to press a button or whatever, and perhaps have no intention of actually sort of following that through.
Yeah. I think providers are finding different ways of kind of putting that resource, but I know a lot of them are really looking at the resource they're putting in, because it's so critical, you know, ensuring that their employers get the right people and they offer them a good service. So, So, one of the things I've been asked to really just ask you is, do you think there is a need for the sector? You know, a number of you are quite informed here, but we were looking as National Apprenticeship Service to see whether there's any appetite for us putting on a conference for IAP professionals, which would include professionals from kind of career referral organisations, and also schools, colleges. Do you think that's still needed, or what's your kind of feeling as to?
I think that my personal experience of being exposed to the service, National Apprenticeship Service, there's been a lot of information available for professionals. I think that it would be really good, especially with connections and careers being so fragmented or decimated. I think it would be really good for the promotional. I think the promotion should be geared towards specifically laying things on for young people. I don't think young people are aware of how much goes into applying for a vacancy, what the expectations on them are. I think that, I mean, my experience is that a lot of the young people who are saying they want an apprenticeship are generally those who don't want to go to college.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're aware of that this is going to be harder or just as hard as going to college. And I think part of that is because up until a couple of years ago, apprenticeships was a term that also included a lot of E2E or program-led courses.
Absolutely.
So I think it would be really good for the service to get out into schools, do some work directly with young people, and just get across some of the stuff that you mentioned.
Originally, we had a learner services.
There was a learner services, and in my mind, I was the learner service director. I think that's where it fell down quite badly, because we interview every fortnight, and we say to people about the vacancy matching service, and nobody's heard of it. In any of the schools, nobody's heard of it. And the first time they hear about it is when they might come to a college or somebody tells them about it. But we're trying to ourselves get into schools to sell vocational practical.
So is that your general kind of feedback that schools generally don't?
Yeah, I mean, that's why the first question I'm asking, do you go out to schools?
The answer to that, we used to, and then this government decided that we shouldn't have, as part of the downsizing, that we shouldn't have a learner services team, so the whole team was cut out of our organisation. So we actually don't have a team now that engages with learners. It's the same concept as per the National Career Service. Their view is if young people want it, they'll ring a helpline or go on a website. But as we all know,
I think one of the challenges with it being so competitive. I mean, as an advisor, what I normally say is in any kind of careers talk, no matter what someone says they want to do, is okay, that's good. We've talked about that in depth.
Yeah.
Let's look at a backup. Because a lot of apprenticeships are, okay, as the gentleman said, you're applying in June to start in August, September. There's no guarantee they'll get it. So we often advise college or think about college as a backup anyway.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking maybe some work could be done with employers who are advertising with you to say maybe start thinking ahead about when you want an apprentice to start so that we can start getting offers to young people sooner.
I think that's easy to do with large employers, but small employers
They want someone now.
They've got a vacancy, they need work the bigger companies, we can do that and say, okay, you know, you start an apprenticeship, you know, you want 1,000, can we let's have a look at when would be the best time to recruit, and we can kind of gear them. But smaller companies it's just roll off. Which is really difficult. But the question about schools, we don't have the resource to go into every school, we don't have a learner services team anymore. But what we will try and do is kind of respond to collective responses, you know, large careers fairs or large groups of schools. And, you know, we may be able to help with requests like that. We were wondering if we put on two or three, I don't know, or even just one conference for schools and professionals, whether that's useful. You're saying it needs to be for the young people, is what you're saying.
Both really. What we try to do is where connections have gone, just in particular, we're all there. Where connections have gone, we just had a meeting with somebody who's the 14 to 19 coordinator who said that now there is a forum where you can go to see all the people from the schools. Link into that.
But back in Bedfordshire, 14 to 19 is gone. So it's been great work.
That's why we used to go.
And retain 14 to 19.
Yes, but if
quite
it's
a
gone,
lot of them have got rid of them. So that's where you see it. I think what you suggest the fall of time, because schools, particularly with academies, cost a lot to let people out of school. So I don't think,
in my Rotary Academy Trust,
it wouldn't let anyone out for that kind of thing. Because if it was about interpreting data or raising achievement, yes, they would, but in reality, they're not going to do it for that.
Yeah, no, you're not.
And that's why I think it's a mistake not to try and get them to. And certainly in Bedfordshire, schools do not meet together because, you know, the whole idea of academisation is you do it yourself. And therefore.
Yeah, I mean, some areas we have done things with the local authority, and I know you've got academies outside that, but I mean, you know, we have done things with collective groups of schools with the local authority and held events for young people, but then you're relying on the schools to promote to their young people, and then you get some schools at work telling you their young people because they've been trying to poach about sixth form and all those kind of issues. So I think it's really, really difficult at the moment, and to now to not just get to the young people but to get to their parents and other influencers. And I just wondered if you've got any ideas on that as to how we get to parents.
I think parents more than ever are kind of excluded from the IAT process, especially with sort of high street walk-ins and shops going, because where it's taking place in isolation in schools or with a worker, whether a parent is involved in that or not, what their knowledge is going to depend really how well the school works with parents. If you can't go to individual school, I think maybe some kind of event for young people and parents.
Or parents' evenings,
parents
or whatever it is. If people have a parents' evening where you could go along, quite often they have like a time.
We haven't got the resource to go to individual. I think that's the thing.
I've ended up doing is just, you know, for the big apprenticeship providers in our area, like the Martin Luther, we just invited the parents.
I mean, we do have a network of apprenticeship ambassadors, you know, that can help with that.
Yeah.
So, but again, there's not one of them for every school in the country. I think we can do that to some degree.
But unless you feed something back, I don't see how you're going to try and promote young people. Not like your scenario where you have more able once you've done A-levels.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to take on 9,000 a year because first the old STEM subjects and universities are going to be 9,000 a year. You want to have an apprenticeship.
Yeah.
See, I'm not sure how you're ever going to get that message across because you know, it's fine in our specific context because the companies we know will say that directly to them.
Yeah.
That's a tip in the ocean.
Yeah.
How are you going to get, because there's increasing amounts of sixth form, large sixth form
applicants
who feel they don't want the financial burden of going to university, but are academically able and motivated. And what you've outlined here, obviously, I take back, but you know, they'd be really interested in this, but they simply don't know about it.
So how do we get to that group then?
I'm not sure if you don't have some resource to go directly to schools.
Not individual. We can do collective.
But the point I'm trying to say is that the philosophy of this government is to get rid of local authorities.
Yeah.
And to be perfectly honest, for many years as a secondary school, I wondered what we ever got for our top slice to local authorities.
Yeah.
Primary schools got lots of support, I'd say.
Yeah.
And therefore, in my Rotary Academy Trust, we are over the moon to be able to academise and have nothing to do with the local authority because we do it all ourselves.
Yeah.
But the problem with that philosophy is its individualisation, which is what Nick Gibbs has been to our academy and said, how wonderful, let's have you replicating that. And he's teamed us up with Barking and Dagenham to follow the same kind of multi-academy thing, which goes against what you're trying to say.
Can I ask a naive question? If a lot of these apprenticeships don't start in July, August or September,
how
do you deal with a boy or girl who's halfway through a course at your school or college,
and
an ideal apprenticeship comes up that's going to mean them leaving slap over the middle of the course.
We can't advise the people.
We do allow them to go to an apprenticeship because
a lot of the FEO sector do are getting much better now because they offer more roll-on, roll-off. So I would say certainly the FEO sector is offering more of that. That's going to work better if the apprenticeships do the day release
at your college.
Well, if you're trying to send someone off, it's still a leaver, even if they do it at the same college. We will have construction as a good example. We'll have students on a construction full-time course, and then an employer will come in and say, oh, that's a really good lad, we've got one.
And you wouldn't hold them back.
No, we let them go, but we still lose them. They're achieved as full-time, but we gain them as a start. But for that individual,
that's an absolute positive progression. They found employment and they can continue with their
qualifications. That happens quite a lot, but unfortunately, because the employers are sort of happy with what they get, then that gives us a better link with the employer. So you might sacrifice a bit on your success rate, but you actually...
But that's more difficult to do if somebody's doing academic studies in a sixth form. That is more difficult.
You see, the other thing that's a problem now, I don't know whether anybody else... Basically, what we're finding is now, because of the funding with the skills funding agency, if somebody's already done quite academic, like some of your people perhaps, might have done a level 2 or a level 3 diploma or a level 3 course, now we don't get funding for that through apprenticeship. So you'd only get partial funding. So if they're over 19, because you know they stayed on at college and they were a late start or whatever, we'd probably end up getting very little for those people, less than 50%. So it'd be 50% first,
less,
but then if they've already
got,
achieved a qualification, you'd have to take that off.
Yeah.
The other problem is, you were saying before, perhaps they could do a level 3, but they can't, because if they're new into a job, they're not at supervisory or management level.
I think it depends on the sector. For some sectors, they can come in at an advanced level.
It depends on the sector and what the sector framework says, so it really does vary sector by sector.
So some young people can come in at advanced and higher level.
But we find that's really then dumbing it down, because you're having to simulate a lot of what they need to do in terms of supervision, because they're not actually doing it at work. Because if you go into a new job, you're not automatically in charge of doing something.
Yeah. But not all the frameworks have got supervisory elements. Some are technical, the ones we're talking about, and obviously things like construction or whatever, you couldn't go in and do your level three until you've done your level two anyway.
So you have a problem then in terms of people who've actually got a qualification, or found people, but you get a degree, they're out of it completely because there's no funding whatever.
I mean, the funding is all under review, under simplification, because it's far too complicated. There's about five million funding lines. So they're looking at streamlining them into either 8 or 3 funding lines. I'll believe it when I see it. But but the funding is all under review.
When you're thinking about professionals to target to raise awareness, I think with advisors sort of going and there's a consultation about work-related learning being removed as a statutory element now, and I think you should probably target any kind of professional seminar or whatever at teachers, because they are probably, well, previously would have relied on careers companies coming in or somebody from the local authority dealing with work experience who had things with employers. I think with that going, I think the more teachers know about what's out there, what alternatives
are,
and also to inform them about what employers now are looking for from their, because I know obviously with my colleague here with his good work with employers, it's fantastic. It's with some really good ideas, but I know from schools that I've linked up with that doesn't go on in terms of the teachers leading on that. So I think if you're going to target professionals, teachers are the ones who are going to be bearing this responsibility.
Yeah, I think it's getting cover and new backfills and whether they'll be released. I think it's our question mark.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah.
With shrinking budgets and redundancies.
Yeah.
It's quite difficult. This year, we as a college put on an apprenticeship showcase and apprenticeship week and got all our own internal apprenticeships to showcase what they've learnt since they started as an apprentice. But again, getting that buy-in.
And did you target that at teachers?
We targeted it at schools, at teachers, at parents.
Yeah.
It was a twilight session.
Yeah.
I mean, we did get a good turnout, but the release within a school setting for them to come and find out during a national apprenticeship, because we thought it was a target for them, that there isn't the awareness in the schools about apprenticeships. But there wasn't as big a buy-in as we would have hoped. And feedback from some of the kids that came in the evening was that the schools weren't prepared to release them to come and have a look in.
I don't think you can get away from having to go to individual schools to do it effectively, can you? Whether you're targeting pupils, parents, or teachers.
Right. And I think if we're being honest, in this room, the reality is that I do agree it's been the right thing to equalise sixth form funding between schools and FE colleges, and I think for many years I thought that's not fair. But the reality from a school point of view is that schools are going to work even harder to hold on to the kids they have, because they're worth less to them, so we're going to need more.
Yeah.
So if I go to my head of sixth form and say, you know, I want to promote these post-16 apprenticeships, and they can go off and do something else, absolutely have a fit, because the reality is Key Stage 3 is funded by Key Stage 5. That's a reality.
And I think you're right, and almost sometimes I think, is it actually worth bothering with year 11 and 12? Should we really just be focusing on year 13 progression? And if others want to find out about it, great. But then how we get to even year 13, who you know, and how we would get a captive audience, and when would the best time to do that? When would be the best time to target year 13 who'd made a decision or weren't sure about what they were going to do? And it's about, do you have to do it really early before UCAS, you know, or do you do it in year 12? Or
I mean, I think what the scary thing is, I mean, I just had a chat with a lady today, and very fair from a school, sort of saying that, you know, they know they've just opened to sixth form, they know who wants to go into sixth form, so they're only bringing in colleges and that to talk to the ones that they know are not going to sixth form. But it's about giving everybody that option and then letting them choose which is the best route for them. So you're still only getting a catchment, even on the apprenticeship side, are the ones that they know are not going to sixth form.
However, having said all that, we've got a declining 16 to 18 cohort, and we've still seen a 2.4% increase in 16 to 18 participation. So that, in real terms, when you look at the decline, we are seeing
participation
in apprenticeship. So we are seeing a greater proportion of the cohort choosing.
But what will be interesting is, because this sixth form floor target of funding has only really started to bite this year, and we're on a 2-year lag of funding.
Yeah.
So, like in my sixth form, we've lost millions of pounds, even 500 kids in sixth form. So, to equalise it, we've lost 2.8 million.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's a result in about four members of staff who will probably every issue made redundant, because we as an academy cannot go in the red, like in the old days with the local authority. So,
so schools will hold on more.
Without
financial stability.
You should be doing apprenticeships.
That's the dilemma that we face.
Yes.
And unless someone like you comes directly into the school and says, you know, we're paid by the taxpayers' money, this is best for the kids, I'm afraid heads and senior staff are going to say, we need every bum on seat we possibly can. And you know, my school and our local schools have all withdrawn from our local Medford College provider simply because we can't afford it. It's nothing against the college, but and that's the reality. Yeah. And it's a great idea.
Partnerships with the apprentice providers is going to be vital.
Well, that's the only way I can do it. That's the only way I can do it by having
the
same.
Because we did used to do that with a learner services team. Yeah, half of our staff used to be learner services, half used to be working with employers. But we can only hope that government kind of sees sense on that. But thank you for your contribution. I can't see it happening in the short term. Is there any kind of last minute things that I haven't covered that you needed me to explain or anything? You were aware of implications on FELearns? I've mentioned FELearns. I know Barry's mentioned them this morning. From 2013-14, anybody 23 plus who wants to access any skills funding agency offer at all, including apprenticeships, will have to take out an FELearn if it's at level 3 or above. So anything at advanced or level 3, if they're 23 and above, will need to take out an FELearn. And what's been proposed is virtually identical to what's currently in the work domain for applying to HE. So it'll be administered by the Student Finance Company. Very, very similar. There are more complications for apprenticeships because of the way it's funded. But yeah, that will come in from 2013-14, yeah.
Yeah, I completely know in the earlier talk you said there were some sectors where you only had less than 5 applications.
Yeah.
Roughly, can you tell us what
those are? Yeah, business administration, hospitality and care are the 3 at the moment.
Very few applications.
I mean, at the minute we're using Facebook and Twitter to do so, to promote vacancies. You know, we do find it does drive.
Factories, I think. We've had quite a few food manufacturer vacancies, and people have sort of seen a factory.
Yeah.
Although it was the apprenticeship they're offering £10,000, so it was good money for a start. And also sort of going around all the areas of the business. It wasn't just in the factory; it was to see what they thought was the best. And then we couldn't get anybody for that at all.
Some of them are just because they're in rural areas. I have to say,
get
them. So young
people, so some, but not huge numbers, and not all are minimum wage either.
No.
So you look at them and you think, well, it's £180 a week. Why? You know, it's in the city. Why? It's in the northeast even sometimes. And you're thinking, what's going on? Yeah. So it's really, really difficult. But it's difficult to have a targeted approach to engage candidates to register and apply. It's very much, you know, if you do Facebook, you can target the age group. But it, they're not being guided. They're not, you know, there's no guidance.
Could be,
the apprenticeship word is not allowed, but they come and see these individuals.
It is a really difficult one, but no, thank you. Right, I've been asked to ask you to, in the last 5 minutes, if you could fill in your evaluation forms if you haven't already, please. I think they're in the back of your pack.
Each local authority, each of our units, roughly, the Bedfordshire is 42 branches. So we work in on your form.
Do you drive up? So just interesting what you were saying before, that puts information advice and guidance really, it blows it out of water because it's not impartial in any way, shape or form, is it? It's all geared to what funding streams there are and the schedules.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from policyreview.tv. For more details, go to www.policyreview.tv. Please note that this audio is subject to copyright and cannot be used by other broadcasters or for commercial gain.